Now to these microphones, we bring David James. He's an associate with us right here at Prophecy Today. He directs our School of Prophets. It's a postgraduate program for those who would like to get a master's or a PhD in eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the end times. And in fact, with my conversation that David and I are going to have, I want to focus on that particular thought, eschatology, study of the end times. What are the parameters for being able to know what God is trying to tell us about the end times? David, this is a very important subject. I know that you have done a lot of research, and the reason I know that, you're so kind to send some of those articles that you found, some of that research material along to me, and I've been reading it, and we need to talk about it. I'm sure that this conversation will only be the first of many, because we are going to have to go more in depth. Maybe we'll hit the peaks of what's happening in Bible prophecy teaching across the world in this first conversation and get into it later. I've heard a phrase. I don't know how widespread it is, but it's the postmodern prophetic paradigm. In other words, they're trying to describe what's happening in the teaching of Bible prophecy today. Break down that phrase, postmodern prophetic paradigm. What's that talking about?
Well, when we talk about postmodernism in general, we're talking about moving into a realm of philosophy and thought where there are no absolutes, that there are many sources of relative truth, that you can look to multiple places to try to get your ideas, and truth can be found in any number of places, and isn't just simply something that's subjective, objective. That would be postmodern, and then they're combining these ideas into trying to develop a prophetic view of the future, eschatology, end times, and there's a convergence of a lot of different strands. And a paradigm is simply a model. So there's an emerging model of the future eschatology, trying to combine ideas from the Bible, from ancient civilizations, from biotechnology, just a number of different strands that they're trying to put together to lay out a potential future scenario.
Let me just define for everybody objective and subjective as well. For me, that was confusing for a long time. When you look at God's word objectively, you're simply trying, in simple language, you're simply trying to get what the text says, not to add anything to it. You're not bringing anything to the table. It's what God's word says, that which we need to study. And that's exactly what the thinking should be if you're going to approach Bible prophecy and an interpretation of Scripture objectively. Subjectively would mean you bring all this information. David has just given us a litany of ways that you can get information possibly under this new paradigm. And that becomes subjective. What this person says, what that person says, what you think, no, that should not be added in to interpreting the Word of God. Now, am I correct on that, David?
Right. It's bringing a lot of conjecture and speculation, I would say extrapolation, so moving beyond what the text says, trying to read in between the lines in the text so that you say more than the text says. So exactly right.
Well, one thing I love being in partnership with you as we are is iron sharpeneth iron. And if I say something, David is right there to look at it, listen to it, evaluate it. And then if there's any concern, he gets a hold of me and we go back and forth trying to come to the proper objective solution of what that text is talking about. So I just really enjoy that, David. Thank you so much for that participation. And I believe there probably should be other prophecy teachers out there doing something similar, seeing if indeed what they're talking about has anything to do with the Bible. For example, I think this would probably be a good example, and I want you to give us some insight here. There is a thing about the Nephilim, and we're talking about giants, or I don't know exactly how they define those prophecy teachers that I would say are somewhat off the wall out there, talking about the Nephilim, talking about UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Am I correct? Is this a direction that these subjective prophecy teachers are taking us?
Well, to be honest with you, you just can't believe how far this is going and how fast it's growing. For example, there's a prophecy conference coming up next week called the Pikes Peak Prophecy Conference that is being put on by Gary Stearman and Prophecy in the News. And these teachings concerning the Nephilim, and just to touch on what that means, is this all stems out of Genesis 6 and what was going on and what is meant by the phrase, the sons of God went in to saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and went into them. And then it says there were giants or Nephilim in those days. And the idea is there are a couple of different views of how to interpret Genesis 6, but and there are some really good Bible teachers, very strong, solid Bible teachers, Dr. Reynolds Showers, Dr. Charles Ryrie, who believe that Genesis 6 is talking about a cohabitation between fallen angels and women in Genesis 6. So that by itself is not necessarily a problem. But what is a problem is where it's being taken by these new prophecy teachers.
Now, but David, would this not literally be far-reaching ideas that have no connection really with what God's Word has to say when you start to exegete and just pick apart and interpret God's Word from a literal translation?
That's exactly right, and that's exactly the problem. You have the text to deal with in Genesis 6 and in Jude, for example, that touches on this. But one of the major books that they're bringing in is the Book of Enoch, which is an apocryphal or an extra biblical, non-biblical writing, and they're treating these as well as pagan mythologies as having enough truth to be able to. They're actually trying to discern what the Bible is teaching based upon these other extra biblical sources.
Wow, and that is certainly not inductive Bible study, which is one of the best approaches to interpreting God's Word. I understand as well, though, are they not reinstituting the gap theory? In other words, there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 of maybe millions or possibly billions of years, so they can throw a lot of this junk that they're teaching over in there and explain that's in prehistoric times what happened?
You know, there is so much speculation going on right now that it's hard to nail some of this down. And you, as you read through it, you can't tell whether they're really believing that there are UFOs from other planets or that these are actually fallen angels. One of the things that I was just reading just before you called was the idea that on Mars there are artificial phenomenon. For example, in the area of Cydonia, there's a Cydonian face. It's kind of a famous picture there on Mars that they claim comes from a pre-Adamic time when the fallen angels had actually set up a civilization on Mars and maybe other planets and launched invasions to the Earth from these other civilizations that they would have established before Adam was created on the earth. So, yes, you're right. The gap theory and a lot of other things, just many other things, are being touched on as possible ways to understand how this all happened.
I've got to tell you, this is scary to me. We endeavor to try to teach our students at our School of Prophets, study God's Word. What does God's Word say? Use the parameters of Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and in the confines of those parameters, whatever God's Word says, that's what we go with and not speculation. I'm drawn back, David, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, and this is a great book to study for the end times. I think it's a great manual for people to read and understand for the days in which we're living. But 2 Peter talks about in chapter 1 that Peter was there at the time of the glorification of the Lord when the transfiguration took place there up in the northeastern part of Israel on Mount Hermon. He saw Elijah, he saw Moses, he saw Jesus in his resurrected, glorified kingdom body. Then the next verse, he said, I was an eyewitness. But the next verse, he says, but now we have a more sure word of prophecy. And referring, of course, to the Word of God. That's where we need to stick when we study Bible prophecy, is it not?
Right. And Peter also said that no scripture is of private interpretation. And so what's happening is, as you bring in these extra biblical sources to try to shed light on the biblical text, then you end up with different people coming up with private interpretations, which is exactly what was condemned by Peter.
Wow, I never thought of that next verse. That's right, they do fit their lockstep as they walk through the way we interpret God's prophetic word. You know, it seems to me, and let me just conclude our conversation, we'll have to have many, many more, because I think you've opened a Pandora's box, and we got to continue to look at this for those eavesdropping on our conversations here on Prophecy Today. Let me just ask you this final question for a short thought. Is not what these people, these crazy prophetic teachers are doing, actually fulfilling Bible prophecy, that in the last days there will be false teachers?
Yes, I would say it is, and I think here's the really deceptive part. One, I think this new teaching has the potential to eclipse the harbinger and other things that have been happening, and we're seeing an escalation of this. The second thing I would say is I'm really concerned that this is actually part of a double deception, meaning that under the impression that they are revealing and showing what the end time deception will be, they're actually becoming a part of the deception, and it's going to actually be different than what they're saying, and they're creating a scenario that people are going to be looking for, and people are going to be deceived by that and caught off guard.
Wow. Well, as I said, we're going to have another conversation, David. Appreciate it so much. David James, he's a part of our ministry with the School of Prophets, giving a study, advanced postgraduate study, in the area of eschatology. But he's a good friend and a great researcher and author of a book, The Harbinger Factor Fiction. You need to get a copy of that as well. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks much.